Hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT. I'm here today with Jeff Smith, the new Vice President for Public Policy of the American Medical Informatics Association. Jeff previously held the same position with CHIME, the College of Health Information Management Executives. Jeff, you've been at Aimian now for a couple of months. The group has new leadership with Doug Fridsma, ONC's former chief science officer, taking over as president and CEO last September. Can you talk about where Aimian is as an organization now and where it hopes to go and how it will grow? And do you envision expanding Aimian's scope, mission, and visibility?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks, Sean, for having me. And, you know, I think we are at a very interesting and opportune time, especially Aimian finds itself really in the thick of many conversations that are, I would say, kind of the next generation of health IT policy. For the last 5 to 6 years, the federal government, in conjunction with the private sector, has been making extremely good progress towards building out kind of the IT infrastructure needed to deliver, you know, that next generation of care and disease management and disease discovery. And one of the great things, you know, one of the reasons I'm so optimistic about where Aimian is and where it's heading is that the Aimian membership are basically those folks who don't just care about the end product of the data, they don't just care about the IT, but they really care about trying to make the data mean something. Informaticians are all about knowledge management and information management. And these are the folks in healthcare, and I'm talking about a wide swath of individuals from researchers to kind of the applied clinical informatics, and then, you know, professionals in public health, and even consumer-facing health informatics folks all kind of reside under the Aimian tent. And at the end of the day, these are the individuals that make the data make sense. These are the individuals that can apply the data in interesting ways towards better outcomes and better population health management.
I'm kind of assuming that one of your mandates is to bring more, you know, legislative firepower to Aimian. And so what are the chief items on your public policy agenda for the next year?
My mandate is actually quite simple, and it involves both legislative and regulatory components. But at the end of the day, what I have been brought on to do is to help leverage Aimian expertise to enable the federal government to make better policy in the realm of health IT and informatics. I think we see this as a partner approach in the sense that we think that there are definite roles for the federal government in this space, and then there are definite roles for the private sector in this space. And it's kind of a constant challenge to figure out where that happy medium of division of labor is concerned. And so Aimian's agenda is actually, you know, pretty expansive. Because we have such a varied membership ranging from researchers and academic settings to applied informaticians in clinical settings and public health, if you look at something like 21st Century Cures, which was a bill passed by the House very recently, I can make an argument that roughly a third of what's in that bill is of interest to some corner of Aimian membership. So certainly funds related to NIH, the National Institutes of Health, are vital because these are research dollars that fund a big portion of our members' work. And then other things related to standards for data collection, not just in the clinical setting, but also in kind of clinical trials. Data access for research is a big component, and making sure that we can craft policies that enable researchers to discover new disease management techniques and new insights, but doing so in a way that makes patients aware of how their data is being used, and just makes sure that patients have a right to donate their data and a right to keep their data when they want to. And then, of course, you know, the big buzzword we're going on almost 2 years now, interoperability, that multi-syllabic buzzword, is of course something that is of great interest not just to India but to everyone. So I would say those are kind of some of the big drivers, but then you've also got things like the President's Precision Medicine Initiative. And a lot of the work that's been going on in that space has been, you know, spearheaded by a great deal of AMIA membership. And so I think in the near term, that's going to be a policy realm that is of great interest to AMIA, in addition to the other issues that I mentioned.
Okay, now, you know, on a more specific issue, ICD-10 being implemented in October, is the medical informatics community, you know, involved in that? Or are they going to be affected by that? And if so, how? And
yeah, so I think that's ICD-10 is an interesting situation. I think it all depends on who you ask. We certainly, as an organization, believe in the necessity to move forward with the implementation date that we have. But we also have a corner of membership who are currently engaged in trying to help define what ICD-11 looks like. And so, you know, I think ICD-10 is one of those things that, as an industry, we just need to move forward with it, because this stop-start approach and this churn that's been created over the last 2 years and really over the last 5 to 8 years has been just a gigantic waste of time and money. And so as we kind of look towards, you know, the implementation deadline, I think that you are starting to see CMS, and generally speaking, even the legislative branch, start to realize that this date is going to be this date. And there's been a lot of work to kind of get over this hump. I really wouldn't characterize ICD-10 as a kind of chief concern of the organization, but certainly insofar as we need to move forward, AMIA is of the same opinion.
Okay, but just one, you know, related question to that, even though ICD-10 is not, you know, a major issue for you guys, but what do you think people will be saying about ICD-10 a year later in October 2016?
That's a good question. I would anticipate that many parts of the country will be surprised at how little catastrophe happened as a result of the switch. But I also know that there will be some that just quite plainly were not ready, did not do the work that was necessary to be ready, and find themselves, you know, kind of scrambling. But, you know, I do think that, you know, public policy by its nature creates winners and losers, but it tries to do so in a way that helps the vast majority of folks kind of move forward. And so when, you know, putting in the context of ICD-10, you know, I do think we will start to realize a lot of the benefits of a more granular coding system, but in and of itself, the coding system is probably in need of a revamp, just as a blanket statement, because coding in healthcare is a tremendously complex task. And one of the things that, you know, could help with this is moving towards alternative payment models that are less dependent on the kind of fee-for-service approach that we have now. Because if you get paid based on outcomes, then you don't have to keep track of all the profit measures and codes. So, you know, we'll see. I think it won't be as bad as some of the doomsayers think that it will, but certainly it won't be without challenge. And I'm hoping that, you know, the federal government, CMS in particular, will be ready to try and mitigate some of the fallout that will inevitably occur.
Okay, so speaking of CMS, what is AMIA's role in the continued evolution of meaningful use? So does AMIA as a group agree that stage 3 of meaningful use should be delayed or loosened up the way CHIME does? And where do you see health IT headed sort of after meaningful use? Because, you know, in a sense, if we're entering the almost the post-meaningful use era pretty soon.
Right. So to your first question, AMIA members have been involved at the highest levels of both the federal government and the federal advisory committee process related to meaningful use really since its inception. And so, you know, meaningful use as kind of the primary policy driver for adoption and use of health IT is, of course, one of the big issues that AMA is involved in and cares about. Relative to stage three delay, the organization, when filing comments for stage three, did advocate for a delay, essentially saying that we need to kind of keep the goalposts set for a little while. I don't know if you remember, there was a commercial several years ago when Shaquille O'Neal was in vogue and he was still playing basketball, and there was, I think it was some kind of like Gatorade commercial, and essentially it was like a picture of basketball in the future where you could jump from the half court line and the hoop was actually on a swivel, and so it was swinging from side to side. And in some ways that's what has happened with meaningful use, and for physicians and clinicians that are engaged in this program, the goalposts have been moving pretty consistently over the last 5 to 6 years. And while there was, smart rationale behind that approach, I think we're finding that the rate of change is just too much. And I think that, most folks are still struggling with stage two. I dare say that nowhere close to 50% of eligible professionals are close to meeting stage two requirements. And, we'll see what happens as a result of a modified rule that is supposed to come out really any day now. We'll see kind of how things end up at the end of this year. But suffice it to say, there is great reason and rationale for putting a pause on stage three, on the finalization of stage three rules, and not just the implementation of it. But I think really the government should hold on to the final rule probably until at least 2017 before it kind of puts out its 18-month roadmap towards implementation of stage three. Because I think we've got a great deal of learning to do in the next 2 years. And I think we have an opportunity to try and optimize the technology that's out there, because, really, if you look back at 2011 to 2013, you still had pretty meager adoption numbers. Now, people were starting to use the technology, but it was all based off 2011 edition certification criteria, which everybody knew was lacking. And so the 2014 edition was really kind of the first chance to get things, to correct some things on the technology side. And then, the processes and the measures and the thresholds on stage two, I think we're a little bit ambitious, but in some sense, we're having the conversation around interoperability and patient engagement and the challenges of those two issues precisely because of what stage two required and precisely because of the technology that's in 2014 edition technology. So I think that we're moving forward in a way that is purposeful, and I think that the work that has gone on has been vital to get us to this point. But now that we're here, I think it's important that we take time to assess and we take time to think about how to move forward. So kind of to your second question on where do we go from here, I think, there are conversations that are driven by program requirements like meaningful use, and there are conversations driven by, news events and, other quadrants of the federal government. And, I think a good example of that is, perhaps the Patient Safety Center, the report that just came out from RTI and commissioned by ONC on what a Patient Safety Center roadmap looks like. I think one of the things that we are most interested in AMIA, and I think there's a lot of interest, especially in the clinician community, is how do we approach health IT the same way that we approach medicine? And that means having a data-driven, evidence-based, and scientifically grounded approach to health IT. Technology and information are strategic assets, and I think what we're finding is that they must be considered in a strategic way. I know that a lot of folks out there think that, IT and technology are just a tool towards delivering better care. And in some sense, that is correct. But I think what we're seeing is that unless you're strategic about those tools, they just become additive to the process. They become a burden to what should be a force multiplier, and what should be making things more efficient are making things more burdensome. And I think that's due in large part because we've had to, as an industry, as a country, we've had to adopt tools in a very unstrategic fashion because it's been driven by very aggressive timelines and, you know, to be quite frank, very aggressive penalties. And so I think that we find ourselves with an opportunity to think more strategically about IT, and I think that India is as well positioned as any association in this country, and its members are as expert as anyone you can find in trying to help people understand what a data-driven, evidence-based, and scientifically grounded approach to information technology is.
Okay, Jeff, as we wrap up, in your former job, you mainly represented healthcare CIOs, health IT CIOs. So how can medical informatics officers or informaticians or executives who in medical informatics, how can they best work with health IT CIOs? What common issues and goals do they share, and how can they cooperate? And where might their agendas differ a little bit?
Well, I think that there's tremendous synergy between the priorities of healthcare CIOs and the priorities of informaticians. I would characterize, you know, the informatician agenda to be obviously a little bit more academic, but also a little bit more in the weeds in terms of the application of the technology towards delivering better decision, better knowledge, and ultimately better wisdom. I think those are kind of fundamental to the way informaticists view the world. And CIOs take a bit more strategic approach in terms of the business applications and the clinical applications, and, you know, really try to enable the folks who work for them to do the really interesting and cool things that they know how to do. So, you know, in some ways, I think, you know, the CIO's job is to enable and to make sure that the business side of healthcare knows what the clinical side is doing and vice versa. And with the informaticians, I think that they have, they're kind of the pioneers with knowledge and discovery. And so, you know, I really don't think that there's too much of a divergence in terms of what they care about. It just may be that CIOs have a more practical minded view of the business side of things, and informaticians are just more concerned with the decision and the knowledge management side of things.
Well, sounds good. Jeff, that was a stimulating discussion, and thanks a lot for being here with Search Health IT today.
Of course, Sean, anytime.